dawn just set you guys up with her prayer. She prayed that God will help us so that we are his hands and feet. And so I'm excited. Let's talk about that today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want us to open the Bible, the book of Matthew, chapter number 25. Matthew, chapter number 25. Whenever you get there, say amen. We want to read from verse number 34. I believe up to 40. Verse number 34 to 40. The Bible says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?'" Verse number 40, "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.' Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Let us pray. Father, we come to you this evening to worship you, to bless you, for there is no one else like you. Apart from you, Jesus, there is no one. You are holy and perfect. You are righteous in every way. And we praise you tonight because you're good to us, because of who you are. Jesus, even as we open our hearts today to hear your voice and your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will minister this truth to us as we wait and yearn and expect of you here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I made a statement this morning that a church is the only organization that exists for the people who are not present. A church is the only organization that exists for the people that are not present. Which means that the existence or the essence of the existence of a church is not based on the people that are in this room today. We exist because of people that have not yet come. People that are not here. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus Christ, he has commissioned the church or the body of Christ with a mandate to go out, the Bible says, and reach out to people, minister to them, minister the truth of the kingdom to them, and reach out to them with the gospel. Now the goal is really the extension of the kingdom of God. The goal is the extension of who Christ is. And therefore, you know, today at our church, we were talking about our vision. And our vision for the vision for our church is making the kingdom of God visible. Which means that we are striving to make sure that when people interact with us, when people talk to us as individuals that go to that church, when people talk to us as Christians, or when they come and meet us corporately, they are able to perceive the kingdom of God. They are able to see the things of the kingdom within who we are as a people, within who we are as Christians. Now that could be a vision for us, but it is indeed what Christ wants us to be. He wants people to see us and see him, see the kingdom of God. The Bible says the kingdom of God has come and it indwells within you, which means that you are in essence the picture of the kingdom. I have said before that the Christians at Antioch, did not go around telling people, we are Christians. People observed these brethren. They looked at them and they saw them acting and behaving like Christ so much so that they say, you know what? You guys remind me of someone. You guys remind me of Jesus. You guys should be, you know, you are Christians. Because you behave like him, you talk like him, you eat like him, you walk like him, you do stuff like him. And here the scriptures that we have read this evening, Jesus Christ is saying there is this place, the place of judgment. And Jesus is giving this account of the place of judgment. He says there are people that will be on the left side, hand side of the king, and the people that will be on the right hand side of the king. And he says to the left people, to the people on the left, now you go to the fire and brimstone and go. But then he turns to the right, the people on his right, and he says, you enter the kingdom that was prepared for you from the beginning of time. Now, I want us to not to remember that. The Bible says that this kingdom was not created and prepared for you from yesterday. Now, we know that Jesus said, I go that I may create a place that where I may be, you may be also. But the Bible says in this account that the kingdom was prepared before the beginning of time. Listen, the place for your destiny has been continuously in construction, and God is beautifying it, making it more beautiful and powerful from since before Jesus came. Now, why that empowers me is that God thought about my redemption and salvation and my eternity before I even fell into sin. Before even sin began, God had thought about our redemption. He had known that when he creates man, man is going to fail, but there is going to be a redemption for man, and there's going to be a place that has been created, that has been prepared for me and you to indwell. Amen. It says this kingdom has been created. Now, that's not what we were talking about. We are talking about this king saying, the people come to this kingdom that has been created for me. And he says, this is the reason why you're coming into this kingdom that has been created. He says, because when I was hungry, you dressed me, or you fed me. When I was naked, you dressed me. When I was in prison, you came, visited me. When I was sick, you came and reached out to me. Now, these are the things of the kingdom. These are the things. That is what the kingdom looks like. The kingdom looks like us, the people of the church, reaching out to people and ministering to their needs. Reaching out to people and being an impact in their lives, not because of saying or declaration, but because of doing. Praise the Lord. He says, when you do anything, if as long as you're extending it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. Now therefore enter the kingdom. That there is a place that God has set, and he says, the way to enter there is, listen, you, because you have been in this, you can be able to go there. Because you have served. Now, on... You know, we are family, so I'm just going to talk it. On the website for our church, we have three green things where there's a place where we say missions. We have three bubbles there. The first bubble says love. The second bubble says serve. The third bubble says reach. If people are going to experience or see the kingdom of God, if we are going to reach out and do the things on this paper that the Lord has said, these are the things that you did unto me, we have to start somewhere. We have to have a foundation, a base. And whatever base he's speaking about is you can never be able to do any of these things unless your foundation is from a place of love. Paul says in the book of Corinthians that, listen, if I offered my body to be burnt, If I do not have love, then it's useless. If I was cut into pieces as a sacrifice for you guys, if this was not coming from a place of love, it is not of value. If I was doing whatever it is that I'm doing in the kingdom, if you're going out there and visiting the sick in the hospital beds and reaching out and dressing the naked and feeding the hungry, if you are not coming from a place of love, then you're not doing anything. Why? Why? Because the kingdom is the kingdom about love. It is the kingdom of God. The Bible says that God is love. So if we are going to do anything in His name, if we are going to do anything for the cause of the kingdom, we have to do everything from the place of love. That is why we, as a people, as a church, as Christians, have to make a sober choice to love. To love people that we don't like, praise the Lord. To love people that we do not want to love. To love people that we do not want to associate with. To love people that do not treat us nicely, to love them. If you're going to make the kingdom come, if you're going to make sure that the kingdom of God is visible in our realm, then we need to love. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, I believe chapter number 15, verses 13, it says, there is no greater love than this, that one lays down their lives for their friends. Because if we are going to love, it means that we have to give up some of our things, some of our rights. I don't like you. Man, you just talk funny, but I'm going to love you. The second thing, if we are going to make the kingdom of God visible in this realm, is we are going to serve. The second green bubble. We are going to serve. Because you see, people do not care what you have to tell them until they know that you care. Serving people is what Jesus Christ has commissioned us to do. Jesus Christ has asked the church to go forth and serve people. See, the Bible says that as he's getting towards the end of his ministry, Jesus Christ, one day he's hanging out with his disciples, and the Bible says that he kneels down, takes a towel, wraps it around his waist, and he starts washing the disciples' feet. The Bible says that he washes the first one, the second one, the third one, and then he gets to my favorite character in the Bible. His name is Peter. And Peter tells him, you are not going to wash my feet. It makes sense. You see, back then, these people did not have shoes. It is not like they had taken a shower and then they showed up and Jesus was like, you know what, I'm going to pamper your feet and wash them and put some pedicure on them. These were dusty, dirty feet. That was the way they moved around. They trudged in dirt. There was no black tops back then. They were just walking around in mud and in the dust. And depending on the situation, they were walking. And then that is the part that Jesus says, I'm going to clean that part. I am going to serve you. The disciples of Jesus Christ, two of them were arguing, who is greater amongst us? Who is greater? And Jesus says, listen, whoever is greatest with amongst you has to be the servant of the latter. Serving. The church of God, it is time that we arise, we take our towels, put them around our waist, and start serving. A difference is not is going to be made in this world, in this small city, if the Christians in this city are going to make a choice to serve. We are going to move away from writing placards, I am pro-life, I am pro-life, and shouting, but by saying, you know what, I am pro-life, do you know why? Because I'm choosing to adopt two children that have been asked to leave their home. That is serving. That is what is going to make a difference, as opposed for us screaming and yelling and saying, you know, this is our declaration. It is going to be more of an action that is a declaration. Serving. We have been told to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Back in Italy, some time back, there was a bomb that hit this huge cathedral.
And the crucifix on the cathedral was ancient. It had been created a long time ago. There wasn't material that would that in this time would be able to recreate it. And the bomb, you see, it broke the hands of Jesus and the feet of Jesus. And so they start fumbling and trying to figure out what material was used to create this so that they can recreate it. Then the father, the priest in this cathedral, comes and he says, they're trying to ask him if he has an idea, because you see, this is what, it was a landmark for the city. This is what people knew. And he says, do not do anything about it. They're like, excuse me, the crucifix does not have hands. And he said, no, just write a message down there. You are my hands and my feet. Because if you're going to reach people with a kingdom message, if you're going to reach people with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we better be ready to lay down our lives in a place of service. We are not going to serve until we understand that to be able to serve, we have to sacrifice. We have to give up our right if we are going to serve. We are going to give up our authority, our power, if we are going to serve. Now, this is how that works. Number one, you're a Christian. That gives you power. Okay? You are Christian in this generation that the church is looked down upon. It gives you more power. Now, if we are going to reach the world that considers itself here, and we as Christians are up here, we cannot reach them. They will not be receptive to our message because we have way too much power. Jesus Christ has got so much power that when he starts telling his disciples, you have to serve people, it does not make sense to them. They cannot grasp it. They cannot understand it. The only way for Jesus Christ to serve, to be able to reach them with the message, is to lose his power by going on his knees and taking a towel and putting it around his waist and reaching out to these people to serve them. To be able to serve them, remember where we were? Love. That is the foundation for everything. To be able to love people, you need capacity. Remember, we've talked about loving people that we don't like. It takes capacity. It takes a huge heart for you to love people that you don't like, for you to love people that are treating you badly. You need capacity. I'm going to illustrate something here. Can I use this cable?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'll just try to use as little as I can. This is a weird heart. Now the heart has got this area that is the capacity. But then life begins happening. And because of life happening, the heart is stretched. It stretches, and as you stretch because of busyness, as you stretch because of relationship, as you stretch because of heartbreaks, you completely stretch and lose capacity to love. So it is up to you as a believer to find out the things that for you build the capacity, the things that for you fill up your tank. The things that for you bring you back, that pull you in, because the more you pull in, the more you create capacity and room to love even more. Literally, this is how I find out that I'm moving away from God. This is how I find out that my walk with God needs a check. It is when I start snapping at people, when I start loving less. The Bible says in the last days, love will wax low. When I go to Walmart and I see a random guy that I don't know and I just feel like I don't like him for no reason, or I'm watching TV and the news and somebody comes on the news and I'm just like, that guy just gets me. I realize I need to my heart is stretched thin. I realize that I am now on that strength and I need to pull myself in. I need to go do devotionals. I need to take time of quiet by myself. I need to pray. I need to come back to the place where my heart has got capacity. Because we will not love if we are stretched thin. Love and service. But service will have to you taking your towel, losing your power, going on your knees to serve. If the people of the world will see the kingdom of God in you, then the kingdom can only manifest from a place of love and then a place of service. The third bubble where we have at our church website under missions is we say reach. Because you see, we want to reach people. Most Christians do want to do that. They want the gospel message to be everywhere so that they're comfortable. I mean, what if everybody in my office was born again, man? I would not have any pain. They wouldn't bug me the way they bug me. And so every Christian wants that. We want it. But then we are not prepared to pay the price to be able to get it. We are not prepared to do the things that we ought to do to get it. We are not prepared to be the weird guys that do the weird things in the office. Like clean up after yourself. I was telling this story this morning about when I first came to the United States and my very first job was an overnight job, and this was my first overnight work, and you know, I'm there the very, very first day at work. And I'm supposed to work with this guy that is supposed to train me and also his park supervisor. His name is Brian. And so I show up, we were supposed to report at work at exactly 10 p.m. So I show up at about a few minutes to 10, and then Brian does not show up for the next 1 hour. And you see, since I've come here, I've been sleeping every night. So 10 p.m. is just like late, especially if I'm just seated, you know. And so sleep is coming in and it's kicking in, and I have no idea how to use a coffee maker. No idea. You know, I can see a coffee maker there, and I can see the coffee, and I have no idea how to operate it. But then the sleep is coming in, and my boss is supposed to be coming in. I have to stay awake, which means I need coffee desperately, because somebody mentioned that if you drink coffee, you might stay awake longer. So I stand up, and I decide to make me a cup of coffee. So I take the coffee filter. You guys will laugh. I put it on that thing. And then I put it on the coffee thing. I take coffee and I pour it there because I've seen somebody do that. And I take the jar of water and pour on top of that. And of course, you guys know what naturally happens. There's a spillage everywhere in the office.
Yeah.
And these are like the coffee, the husks are just there on the table. And so I become frantic and I'm freaking out. And I start cleaning up. And just in the moment when your boss is not supposed to show up, they show up and Brian shows up.
Yes.
And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, man, this guy's going to see how dumb. Because he's seen all this. And I'm thinking, man, I made a mistake and I don't know how to fix it. So I'm just cleaning. And then he comes in and he says, whoa, finally somebody that cleans up for themselves. And then he goes on to tell me, as he helps me make the coffee, like he ignores the fact of this huge damn thing that he's seen. He ignored it completely, and he went on and just made coffee, telling me this story about the way people in the office never clean up the counter when they mess up, and they all make mistakes, and they never do anything about it, they leave a mess, and you know, look at that trash over there. And he's telling me all these stories. The work of service. It is going to be what is going to make people see the kingdom of God. It is going to be what will make people attracted to you. It's going to be what will make people attracted to you so that you can be able to reach them. Now, I want us to notice that progression, because it is not starting with us reaching people, because that's what we want. We want to tell people Jesus loves you and you're going to hell if you're not going to turn around. But the first step has to be from a place of love. Then the second place has to be from a place of service, because when we serve them, we lose our power. We create this environment where they're comfortable and they can hear what we have to say to them. And then we serve them. That is what Jesus did. Jesus Christ was weird. He wasn't like any other rabbi. Because you see, the rabbis would just go to the synagogues and preach on people. In fact, the way Jesus describes it, they wrapped up bundles of stuff and had people carry without lifting a finger to move them. Jesus Christ did not ever wrap up a bundle. In fact, the Bible says that he went to the place where the sinners dwelt, and then he hung out there with them. He visits Matthew, who is a tax collector. You know, everybody hates Matthew. Nobody, who doesn't know, will hate Matthew. Everybody does. But Jesus Christ shows up at the house of Matthew. He hangs out with him. He serves Matthew. Jesus Christ allows this woman that is quote-unquote well-known in the community because of the service that she was giving, rub his feet with her hair and her tears. That is Jesus. I wrote on our bulletin this morning, and you can find all that on our website again. We have a pastor's heart, which it's a progressive message on the website. If you ever want to be encouraged, you can just show up there. By the grace of God, I know it will be your message for that week. But we put those up there. And on the bulletin today, I have written about that Jesus Christ would be an absolute total nightmare for his PR people if he was living in today. Because they would try to figure out how to explain the things that he did. He hung out with people. He ate with people. He sat with people. He lived life with them. And then they followed him. You do realize that apart from the 12 that he prayed for and made disciples, he never asked anybody else to follow him except for one man who chose not to follow him. He never asked anyone to follow him. He lived their life. He lived life with them, and people were like, we want what he has. They followed him. This young ruler that he was an attorney, he goes to Jesus and asks him, Jesus, what do I do to go to heaven? And Jesus says to him, well, the 10 commandments, the commandments of Moses, have you tried those? And he says, yes, I got them down. In fact, every single one of them, I practice them. I live them. I teach them. I'm a lawyer. I got this down. And Jesus says to him, only one thing remains, he says, go sell everything and then come follow me. The Bible says that the young man, because he was very rich, he considered himself and he walked away. The only person Jesus would have made the 13th disciple. And because of what he considered he had, he missed out on it. Lazarus. The Bible speaks about, Jesus speaks about Lazarus and the rich man. He says that there was a table where the rich man would eat his food, but there was this poor man that was on the floor. And then one day, that he did not consider, one day, they both die. And Lazarus is taken up in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man is gone to hell. This is, by the way, a true story. It's historical, not allegorical. Thank you. It's historical. The Bible says that he says, you know, the reason that this man went to hell is not because he was rich. Don't miss the point. It is because he did not use his riches to minister to this man that was under the table.
I wasn't going to go there. I'm going to stop there and finish up because my time is running. But that's something for us to chew on. Jesus says here, the people that are going to heaven is because they have done all this good stuff. He says, I mean, because this is what's happened. You have ministered to my need when I needed. The rich man goes to hell because he did not minister to the needs of Lazarus. We are the rich man. Now, here's the reason why we don't minister. Here's the reason why we don't minister to the needs of the people. If you want to come with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 8, from verse 22, Mark chapter 9, number 8, verse 22, there's a very interesting story there. The Bible says that he comes to Bethesda, which is a village called Bethesda. And as he comes into the village, they bring unto him a man that is blind. And they all start begging him, saying, "Master, will you please touch him? Will you please heal him? Will you please touch him, Master?" The Bible says that Jesus Christ ignores whatever it is they're saying. He goes over to this man and he holds his hand, takes him away from the village. The Bible says that he takes him outside of the village. He holds him by hand. Listen, this is a crowd here that is essentially praying, telling Jesus, "Minister to Don. Touch Don, Father. Touch Don. Touch Don. We want you to minister to her, Lord. We want you to minister to her." And Jesus comes and he takes Don, takes the blind man away from the crowd, away from all these people that want him to touch him for the spectacle. Separates this man from them. He brings him outside the city where it's only Jesus and this man. Listen, if God is going to bring you to a level of loving and serving as much as he's done, he's going to have to separate us from the crowd. He's going to have to pull us away from everybody that is yapping about us and saying everything about me and me and me, that will want us to take the glory when this happens. He says, "I'm going to bring you outside of these people because this is going to be personal for you." Because you see, today's message, as much as it's for the corporate church, it is a message for you as an individual to make a choice to say, "I am going to go out there and be of service. I am going to go out there and be of love. I'm going to go out there and hopefully after I've served and I have loved enough to my capacity that they will see God. They will see the kingdom of God and seek after the kingdom of God." Jesus separates this man. He's away with him in this place of solitary. And the Bible says that he spits and then he touches his hands with his saliva. Now the reason Jesus uses saliva is because back in the time, saliva was used a lot as medicine. It was a medicinal substance mixed with other things. Perhaps it would make medicine. What Jesus Christ is trying to say is, "I'm endorsing my providence through healing that comes when I give some doctor wisdom or some scientist wisdom to come up with medicine." Which means that as believers, it is not a sin when you do your time when you have a headache. Jesus still remains the healer, but he has provided wisdom to somebody who manufactured Tylenol to aid that healing, but he still remains the ultimate healer. He uses saliva. He pretty much gives the man Tylenol. The Bible says that he touches his eyes and then he asks him a question. He says, "What can you see?" The Bible says that this man's answer is, "I see people like trees walking. I see people like trees walking." Now, church, this is the problem. Our vision is the problem. How we see people is the problem. If we are going to love people, if we are going to serve people, we have to change the way we see people. See, God has got the power to simply turn your life around by a nod of his hand. Jesus Christ did not need to touch this man for this man to see. He didn't. He would have just said, "See." He would have just looked at him and go like, and the man would see.
The thought of this man seeing in the mind of Jesus would make this man see. But the Bible says that Jesus touches him the first time. And then he asks him, what can you see? And the man says, I see people like this. We have received the first touch. We have become Christians. We have become believers. We serve in the kingdom. We are the people that are giving and offering services to people. But you see, the problem is that we have not received the second touch that will make us see people clearly. Man, trees bug me. Have you ever walked in a forest and you're bumping into trees? Or somebody is in front of you and then they call the branch and pass, and the branch just comes and lands in your face? Have you ever been to Walmart and seen people that you really did not see? And even spoke to the lady who's serving you, but you never saw them. Because they were just like trees. We never brought them to the level where they were humans, where they were souls that Jesus Christ is passionately in love with. There are people that we work with, but we continuously see them as trees because of the business of our lives. I'm going to go and do what I need to do and then be out of there as quickly as I can. We see people like trees. In the church we go, we fellowship with people and we see people as trees. No wonder we've come up with these automated answers. How are you doing? I'm fine. Because we know that they will not even listen to the answer that we will give. They do not care, is what I'm trying to say. Because for us, they are trees. Driving around and then you see these people on the side of the street begging. Sometimes we stop and even give them money, but we never stop to think, that is somebody's mom. We see them like trees. We see them as a bother. You know, we need to clean up the city. These guys driving around, and I see people doing drugs on the side of the road. I'm like, trees. The man says, I see people like trees walking. I see people like trees walking. And I don't know about you, but I am guilty for seeing people like trees consistently and continuously. I see them walking around me, but they're just trees. They don't bother me as long as they're not in my way. I am just going to push them away as long as I do what I need to do and move out of here. I see people like trees. The Bible says that then Jesus says, this man, he touches him, the second man. Finally, he says, what can you see? And he says, I see people. Stand up on your two feet. Tonight we want to make this prayer and tell the Father, Daddy, touch me again. Touch me once more. Because you see, it's only going to come from the second touch that we are going to begin seeing people. And we are going to begin loving people. And we are going to have this passion for the city. You know, this drive that just propels me. I want to go reach. I want to know how they slept last night. I want to just go and hang out with them. Check on them. Because the Bible says, when I was in the hospital, you came and saw me. When I was, you came and ministered to me. When I was naked, you came and dressed me. And Paul says, if it's not coming from love, then it's not. Then it is, the only way is going to be when love can touch you the second time. Because once love touches you the second time, be like Jeremiah. He says, I know the message of God is like a fire in my belly if I do not share it. It is like a fire that consumes me, that burns within me if I do not share it. The message of the kingdom cannot be contained within this vessel. I want it to burst out and touch every person that I meet. I want my smile to minister life into somebody that is going to a place of darkness. Seeing people like people. So
So I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands if you can. And I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
How I pray that you touch me once again.
How I pray that you touch me once again.
Father, because